Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Kowais, and our normal co-host Theo is in Tampa or Sheboygan or...
Not here.
Detroit? I really don't know. He travels everywhere. That is the voice of our special co-host today, Mr. Dax Holt.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Who you may know from the years at TMZ when we worked together. Mm-hmm. He was one of the stars and then became a finalist or to the top of the top of the Kelly search for a co-host.
And that was fun.
And now currently...
But I lost.
Yeah, you
Thanks
lost.
For bringing that up again.
Sorry. But that guy's not on any either.
No, I'm just
right,
messing
so
with you.
So see, like... I mean, it was, you got what you got.
I was
out
a
of
loser.
It.
You can say it.
That's
Go
okay.
For it.
We're all
number one loser.
And this is actually a reunion because Dax and I had a little chat sometimes that we would do with their fans. So the Dax chat reunion isn't really
exactly.
nice. And now you're currently working on Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood. I've been working there for a little bit. Well, doing little guest stints, and then I started up my own website.
Yeah,
on
and
Hollywood
that is
Pipeline.
Yeah. So how do people go to HollywoodPipeline.com?
HollywoodPipeline.com. I think the easiest, though, is on Facebook. Just follow the Facebook page, and then we also post a bunch of videos on YouTube.
So okay.
It's just kind of like fun videos, lighthearted, just entertaining stuff. And I have my daughter come on. She'll do videos with me. So
about entertainment.
Yeah, so it's fun to hear a five-year-old's perspective of celeb photos.
Oh,
so
right.
She'll like see Justin Bieber, and she's like, why is he covered in stamps? And it's like that kind of stuff.
Oh, you are just exposing her at a young
hell
age.
Hell yeah.
That's so let's get to the really important person here who's
not me.
Definitely not Dax. This our special guest today is the Hollywood medium himself, Mr. Tyler Henry.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I should ask you where Theo is because you probably know better than I.
I'm sensing. Am I sensing Tampa?
I don't know. Okay, we'll go with Tampa. Thank you so much for coming on. So tomorrow night is the season finale of your show. It's been a cool season so far.
It's gotten like people are talking about this left and right. Like well, everyone is talking about. They're fascinated.
Honestly, I've said this to him before, but we always post on social media like our guests coming in, any fan questions, whatnot. And I've never, and we've had a lot of people on here, never had as many. Questions or submissions as we have on this. Mostly women.
You
know, women love you.
You know what? Because you're fascinating. I think he's really fascinating. So people are like curious on his gift and like, you know, because we can't do that. So they're like,
well, you don't know that about me.
He might have a TV show opportunity coming up.
Yeah, seriously. Middle-aged women, is that the fan base?
That tends to be the demographic.
Well, on that note, my mother is dying to get a reading. So before we even dive into questions, A, is that possible? B, do you do readings outside of like the show?
Absolutely. So when I don't film, I do about 2 to 3 readings for non-celebrities every single day.
Oh.
And I basically have a resource where people can sign up to get a reading. And it's TylerHenryHollywoodMedium.com. And
okay.
You can go to the website and you can book a reading. And I basically, like I said, do 2 to 3 or however many I can when I'm not filming. And as I go down the list, we get in touch with people.
Do you do them over the phone as well, or do they have to be in person?
So it can be done over the phone. And I actually sometimes prefer it to be done over the phone because then I don't have the bias of the person sitting in front of me.
Mm.
Sometimes the best readings have been done via email.
And then weirdos don't have to be near you
either. Wait. Readings via email?
Yeah. Wow. That's a whole thing too. So oftentimes like people will come and they'll ask, you know, do we need to Skype? Do we need to hop on the phone? Sometimes email works because I'm not distracted by you know what they have to say. I just meditate, write down everything that's coming through, and send it to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you do it in person, where do you do it?
Well, it depends. Sometimes we'll do it at a person's house.
Okay.
Or sometimes a neutral location where they feel comfortable.
I'm just talking about my mom now, so getting the basis ready for her.
For sure.
So I would assume there is a very giant list, right?
Absolutely.
So how do I get my mother up above?
Well, you know, when I do events like these or interviews,
flip them that 20
like
over
that,
there.
Yeah.
I have like a VIP list of people that I meet.
Ooh.
So I'd love to put her on there.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, okay.
But, no, I want to know, because obviously you've been doing this before becoming a celebrity. Now that you are a well-known face, does that change a little bit going to people's houses?
It's a lot more time consuming because people want to take pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they ask a lot more about the scribbles.
But you don't show up by yourself, right?
No, I do. Yeah, my mom drops me off.
Okay,
like,
I'm going to say that's not...
Go.
Let's change that up a little bit.
All right.
By the way, I love that your mom drives you around. That's adorable.
Oh, thank you.
That's very sweet. I mean, you're not like... 12.
Right.
Like, you could drive, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Do you drive? Do you have a license?
No, I don't. There's a couple reasons behind that. So on the show, the reason why I don't drive myself is because I get a lot of impressions actually as I'm actually headed to these readings. Mm. And they're oftentimes very subtle, so I have to be really connected to my body and focused on what's coming through. Mm. So driving and being in traffic in LA, obviously, is kind of
that's a
bit of a bias. So having my mom drive kind of helps me just take that time to meditate and focus. But there was actually another reason why I don't drive. And this was because when I was 18 years old, I actually had a near-death experience where I had a brain cyst. Right. And I went through this whole thing, like had a near stroke. It was a whole experience. And after that, the doctor said, hey, you know, you need to kind of think about maybe not driving for a little while.
Yeah.
I've gotten the Clearall since then, but that experience just kind of stopped me from moving forward.
With you getting these messages, is it ever a burden? Like, I was always been curious this, because you'd be getting these messages and you want to pass it on to people, right. But you're like, God, I just want to relax. I want to sit in traffic and not have to think about any of this.
You know, I'd say the messages themselves oftentimes are very direct and they get placed where they're meant to. That aspect of it for me isn't super draining. I think it's more the expectation of clients that becomes a little draining. Since getting the show, people have seen the very public readings, and so they see these validations, and there's such an excitement and expectation when they meet me to have an experience like they saw on the show.
Hmm.
And if anything, I tell people, you know, put your expectations to the side. We'll see who comes through. I always say I can't dial direct, so I never know who's going to connect. I just say what I see, hear, and feel.
And then let's say nothing comes through. Right. Do you feel bad, or do you make shit up? Well, like, I don't know. I don't mean that.
It's
like
grandma's proud of you. No, I mean, thankfully,
I mean, you feel like the pressure, like, could you, like, oh God, this person's paying me, you know, like, I gotta deliver something.
Thankfully, you know, I find that something always comes through in the reading,
right.
Even if it's not regarding someone who's passed away. When I sit around with someone long enough, usually something will come through, ranging from a medical susceptibility or something going on in their personal life. Mm. That can be helpful or useful, but obviously dealing with the expectation, I care about clients. I want them to leave making a connection to the fullest. But I kind of liken it to being like a therapist. You know, therapists want to help their clients.
Right.
But therapists can only do so much. So it's kind of like you give the person the experience, and what they do with it is kind of up to them.
And I got to imagine there's a lot of skeptical people that walk in front of you, you have to prove yourself time and time and time again.
Absolutely.
Do you ever have people walk out and they're like, nope, still don't believe it, I'm out of here?
You know, as of yet, we have not. So, you know, that might change someday. I mean, who knows? I think that for me, my job is just to communicate as accurately as I can, and I just do my job.
So you've never made anything up?
No.
Matt, you're a real fruit guy, huh?
I love fruit, but I also love my veggies.
Oh, yeah? No, I mean, you are kind of a fruit. It's just like an old gay term.
You dick. I know what a fruit is.
Okay, sorry, I'm just joking.
But we're talking about veggies and veggie bars.
Yeah, we are, man. And actually, we're talking about That's It.
Yeah, That's It is a really cool company that started off with fruit products, and they created these fruit bars, which basically just takes natural fruit ingredients, combines it in a bar, you eat it, it's an easy way to eat. Now they've expanded into vegetables.
Yep, now they got them veggies, because sometimes if you had a fruit, you know, you might have a peach in your car, but you hit the brakes and it rolls down by the dashboard.
Right.
Then you got a hot bruised peach and you still need to get those nutrients.
But as far as veggies go, a lot of people don't like to eat veggies, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people like to ride around with kale or beets in their car.
Exactly. So this is actually, it's a tasty way to get your healthy, you know, your daily dose of vegetables.
Yep, it's like a big green or carrot cookie, basically. It's not like I don't want to say like a Rice Krispie treat, but definitely something like that's how it feels to me.
Exactly, and I tried them. There's a lot of flavors. There's black bean and corn. There's black bean and kale. There's black bean and sweet peas and stuff, and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's you don't really feel like you're eating vegetables necessarily, because I don't love to eat vegetables, so it feels like I'm having an easy snack, you know? It's great when I just need to get something on the go, or if I'm finishing a workout, you know, it's an easy thing to just eat.
Yeah, to get your vegetables in, because that's a tough thing. It's like, you know, some things are easy to access, you know, but to get the vegetables sometimes, not that easy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop by a gas station and pick up some vegetables, you know?
No, you can't.
Hit me up with those squash with those kumquats.
Well, I don't know if a kumquat is a vegetable or a fruit.
I don't know either.
I like that word, though. This is a company whose mission is to change the way that the world eats produce.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing it in bar form.
Mm-hmm. And their product's great for you. It's all bars are under 100 calories, no preservatives, gluten-free, non-GMO, 4 grams of protein, no fat, kosher, vegan.
Kosher?
Oh, yeah.
For us Jews.
There you go, Jada.
And you get your full serving of vegetables for that day in a bar.
Yeah, and that's amazing, because think about that. Think about having to just think about you getting home late at night and you still have to eat a can of peas. Mm. Not anymore.
You can just eat the bar.
Yep.
What's really cool about it is not only the taste, but the texture and the crunch and the flavor. It's just different.
Oh, it's like somebody just beating you in the face with a garden salad. You know what I'm saying?
It's also good for kids, too. You know, kids don't like to eat their, you know, vegetables normally, and you have to force them. So give them a bar. It's fun.
Give it to them like a candy bar. That's exactly the deal. And you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram and let us know what flavors you liked at That's It Fruit and hashtag That's It, hashtag Real Veggies.
So how do you get these bars?
Oh, you go to That's It Fruit. .com and use our discount code.
Ooh, discounts.
CO.
And you save 10% on any order today. If you go to thatsitfruit.com, enter code Theo to save 10% off any order today.
Yep, it's just changing the way that you consume vegetables, man. Are you tired of riding around with that big, huge crate of celery in the back seat?
Yeah. Know? Well, I can ride in the carpool lane when I do that.
That's a good point.
My friend Celery.
Yeah, these are my friends.
And then when they pull me over, I'm like, no, really, these are my friends. This is it.
Yeah, that lettuce has a head on it, sir. Doesn't that count?
Okay, so go to thatsitfruit.com, use the code Theo, and save 10% off any order today.
That's it.
Very good.
Because I'm more comfortable saying just I don't know. Like there's times on the show even where like someone will ask about their love life and I'm like I have no idea, but I am seeing a health issue that we need to talk about.
Have you ever seen Ghost?
But herpes, that
Ghost.
Is an issue.
Yeah, herpes is definitely a problem. That took a turn.
Wow. Oh, wait, are you seeing that Dax has herpes?
You know,
because I'm getting that right now.
My herpes?
No, stop it. Have you seen Ghost? I was thinking about this.
You know, I have.
Yeah, do you? I mean, in our way, do you like relate to Oda Mae Brown?
It's a little different because in that film, obviously, she's like getting inundated with voices and like people are like chasing her down the street. For me, it's less like The Sixth Sense. I don't see dead people walking around.
Right.
I oftentimes will do an entire reading without ever even knowing what the person looked like in life.
Yeah.
I just pick up on their messages and what they're trying to convey.
So. Yeah. Well, my favorite line in Ghost is, Molly girl, you in trouble. So
I'm going to use that one.
You've been waiting to say that for a while, haven't you?
That's what he has to say. Like, when you get something bad, just go, Molly girl, you in trouble. Actually, I'm going to release me our first social media question from Sharon Daniels. Do you see people or symbols? Or what is it exactly? And how do you put it together in your mind?
Sure. So I always say my sixth sense uses the other five senses to communicate. Mm. So in a reading, I'm like a canvas. And the energy coming through paints the picture of what they're trying to say. So by that I mean basically when I sit across from someone, I won't see the person's face, I won't see a spirit walking around behind the person. I might just sit across from someone and get, say, a chest pain. And then I have to ask myself, okay, what does this chest pain mean? And then I might get a visual of a heart. And so a visual with a heart and a chest pain would mean a heart attack.
Mm.
But I take the physical sensation and the visual that is helping elaborate that information and I put it together and deliver it. So it's basically taking anything that I sense on a very subtle way, putting it together and delivering it.
How did you figure all this out? Because I got to imagine people are getting stuff like this every day, but they would never put it together.
I can't imagine.
Right.
I mean, you're gay too, right?
Yeah,
and out of the closet. I dealt with that.
Yeah.
I could not imagine dealing with being gay and dealing with this gift at the same time. Like I was at my wit's end just being gay.
Yeah. And I mean, I grew up in a really conservative small town in Central California that was kind of like the Bible Belt of California. So I came out as gay, then I came out as a medium. I mean,
was it coming out as a medium?
Yeah. I mean, that really was what it was like because there was such a reaction to it. And I think I had people having prayer circles for me at the age of 10. A local church had
because of the medium?
Yes.
Not because of being gay.
Correct. Just because of being a medium. So what ended up happening is I had a premonition of my grandmother's death when I was 10.
Right.
And that was the first instance that I knew something was different. I didn't know it was an ability. I didn't call it a gift. I just woke up one day and knew my grandma was going to die. I went to the other room to try to tell my mom that we had to say goodbye. And before we even got the chance to walk out the door, my mom's phone rang.
Wow.
And when she went to pick it up, it was my dad on the other end saying that my grandmother had just passed away. So it was a whole instance. But as time went on, I would go to school, interact with teachers, and would just sometimes sit across from someone. I remember a kid at school, I was walking past him. I just looked up at him and I said, do you have an uncle named Sal? And he was like, yes, I do. And he died. I was like, okay, well, all right. And I just like walked away.
So how about that team?
Right. So I started realizing like these little moments of knowing this, that this wasn't normal. And when I would verbalize them, people would validate.
And so, I cannot imagine that's something that people, I mean, did it become a source of like
Were you like an outcast?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Eventually. As time went on, you know, from the ages of 10 and 13, I went through a process of just kind of figuring out what the hell this was. Because it just would happen randomly. I would just get these moments of knowingness about complete strangers or people I was around. As time went on, though, you know, I started sharing these impressions more. And teachers actually started showing an interest in these readings more than students. So, like, the kids would get kind of scared religiously. And then the teachers I started finding would actually have interest. So I got really close with my math teacher. And as time went on, actually would meet with her after school and do readings for her in exchange for math tutoring. Answers, but so it worked out
good on you.
Yeah,
wait, what was harder, coming out gay or coming out as a medium?
You know, from where I was at, probably coming out as a medium.
Wow. What? Yeah. That is fascinating. Well, you're of a younger generation where it's not as hard, you know, like I'm like more than double your age probably. Probably, and I just stopped counting a long time ago.
But that's so funny, because I would never think it would be hard to come out as a medium. Like, that wouldn't even cross my mind.
But now that you think about it, it makes sense.
Probably just because people are looking at you like, okay, well, yeah, you're crazy, what's going on?
Because I think even religious people, most, at least have an idea of what being gay means to some extent. It's not like it's a completely foreign subject, but being a medium, a lot of religious people are like, okay, that's talking to the dead. You know, the Bible talks about it very briefly in a very different context. So there's a lot more stigma, I think, associated with being a medium.
Wow. Yeah. Very interesting.
Are you mentally fatigued, man?
Sometimes.
Are you distracted?
A lot of the time.
Are you tired of blinking? I mean, blanking?
Shooting blanks?
Yeah, no, well, maybe.
That's been part of my problem for a little while now.
I think just shooting brain blanks, man.
Oh, why? What do you have something that can help me?
You know I got something for you, dirty animal. I do, actually. It's Focus Factor. It's the only double-blind, placebo-controlled, clinically proven brain health supplement on the market. The only one.
Oh, and this is, I've heard about this. It's designed to improve your memory, like your concentration and your focus, I would assume, because it's called Focus Factor.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't even realize, like, those are the things that we've lost, like with technology in these days and us being so addicted to our phones and so much going on, our brains are overwhelmed.
And you need to focus.
You got to change that oil in that sucker.
And so this is perfect for work, for school, for home. We got sent bottles, and I've tried a couple of them, and it's actually, I notice a difference.
Oh, I can feel you when you look at me now. I can feel your eyeballs on my skin.
That's
dude.
Just like my predatory nature.
Yeah, you are. You pervert.
Focus Factor contains a powerful combination of neuronutrients, vitamins, minerals that even replace your daily multivitamin.
Yeah, I love minerals, dude. And it's not just for adults. They have it for children, too. So that's how safe this product is. They have Focus Factor Kids Extra Strength, and that helps you support healthy brain function in children. Have you seen children? Yeah, their brains aren't doing well.
They need some help, whatever help they can get.
Time to up the ante on these.
So they can get
fellas.
These chewable berry blast flavored Focus Factor.
Yeah, dude. And Barry Blast, that's not a guy that Matt met on the internet in one of his pastimes.
My God.
That's an actual flavor that they have. Yeah, and the chewable ones, even if you're an adult, if you just want to hit the chewables, man, it's a little odd. But
no judgment.
Yeah,
no
but
judgment.
You can do it.
So you want to give America's number one brain health supplement, it's number one, a try, and feed your Einstein.
That's right. And now, for listeners of our Allegedly podcast, Focus Factor is offering a special discount code. Visit focusfactor.com and use the discount code Allegedly to receive 10% off your order today.
That's Allegedly at www.focusfactor.com, and you'll receive 10% off.
Yep, get your 10% off, get your brain right, and come back and listen to Allegedly.
And even if you improve your brain 10%, some of us...
That's a lot for me.
Some of us could really benefit from that.
Oh, if I improve mine 10%, I would think I'd have about 15%. I don't know. Can I get a pen?
So get your Focus Factor today. So what I like about you too is, I mean, obviously you, it's not that you have a sense of humor about it, but you can laugh about it, right? You can see the serious side as well as the, like, have fun side. And is that something that you've consciously had to do? Like, as far as like, come on, because I get it too at the same time?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I find that, you know, in these readings, information comes through, and it's often about subjects that are very heavy. It's about trying to have a client have an experience, give them a release, give them something. And that, for me, can be really intense and heavy physically, emotionally, mentally. So I do try to kind of keep some degree of lightheartedness.
Yeah. On that note, Ryan Hill asks, who is going to ride a dragon first, Jon Snow or Tyrion Bannister?
Ooh.
Tyrion Bannister.
It would help if I watched that show.
Oh, so you don't know. Okay, I don't watch a
Game of Thrones fan.
I couldn't really watch that show. I watched like 3 episodes into Game of Thrones, I think, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember their names.
Yeah, it's like, very difficult.
It was just there's a lot much. Of names.
And then their heads got chopped off before I got attached emotionally. So,
what can we expect from the finale tomorrow night?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, there's going to be a reading with Lil' Kim, and this reading has been pretty well anticipated since the entire season. And in that reading, obviously, there's a connection with Biggie. And he came through and referred to a project that Lil' Kim was working on in honor of him. But it was something that she's never discussed publicly, something that was incredibly private that she was doing with someone else who was also very close in his life. And he referred to them working on this project together, came through with a bunch of personal messages. And she left that experience having a deeper understanding of her relationship with Biggie than she did or got to before he passed.
Now, do you feel the pressure of like, oh God, I hope Biggie comes to me today because I am screwed if Lil' Kim comes on here and he doesn't start talking to me.
She can get pretty wicked too. She can whoop an ass.
She'd probably be a little upset if he didn't. Yeah. But, you know, in my case, it was actually funny because when I sat across from her, she handed me Biggie's coat. And there was no, you know, secret that she knew Biggie. It's not that I didn't know that. Right. But she actually handed me his coat and her family started coming through. So he actually came through towards the end of the reading. Her grandma, she had like some more distant family come through with messages for her mom's side of family. That was actually how the reading got kicked off. So I actually like that because I feel like when family comes through first before the celebrity, it validates to the person that this is real.
And not that you just read some articles on her and you're coming up with a story.
I go back to the Bobby Brown reading. I mean, obviously there's some skepticism behind that some people have because he's a public figure. But when I sat down with Bobby, like there were connections with his father, with his extended family, like that were so specific and personal and validating that when we finally got to the information about his former wife and daughter, he knew that there was information to substantiate that experience.
Now, with Biggie coming to you and whatnot, like, do you get worried at all about it being, you know, public and what you did? Because there are some fans of Biggie and, I don't know, gang involvement sort of stuff. Like, I would be worried that people would be like, oh, you're fucking with Biggie now.
Well, you know, the concern there was that there was a question about, like, who killed Biggie.
Yeah.
You know, and I got put in a weird position where I got asked, okay,
who
killed Biggie? And I just made the decision to take what was coming through and just kind of.
So do you know who killed Biggie?
I don't. But the impressions that I did get, you know, it put me in a position where I wasn't super comfortable relaying that in such a public way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do have to be careful.
I've actually wondered, is there ever a time that someone is telling you something that you don't want to pass on to the person that's here?
Ooh.
Yes, for sure.
What does that tend to be?
Usually it's
bad news?
Usually it's really personal matters about things that have been asserted from the past. So, for example, if we have a client, I think back to my reading with NeNe Leakes from season one in the very beginning. There were some paternity issues there, and there were some references to some serious family dynamics. And NeNe was a bit of a skeptic, so it was awkward for me to suddenly be like, hi, you're a skeptic. Now I'm going to jump into the most personal, intimate, emotional, vulnerable stuff of your life. And that was a little hard to deliver, but, you know, I'm just the mailman kind of in my mind. I give the message.
But like, if someone's like, hey, this person's going to die in a week, would you tell them?
I've never had information come through where someone came through and said this person's going to die in a week. If I could prevent something, then I would verbalize it. I don't feel the point in verbalizing things that can't be prevented. What's the point? It would only instill fear.
Do you like reading celebrities more than us normal people?
Not at all.
Okay. No. Is it harder?
It's a lot more challenging to read celebrities for two reasons. They tend to come with more of an ego, and there's a lot more public information about them.
Yeah.
So when I read an everyday person, they come off oftentimes with a little less of a guard up, and obviously there's not much out there.
Who was your very first celeb?
Very first celeb? Sarah Paulson. Over the phone when I was 16.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. So that was random. She actually sent me an email. And it was like before any of the show or anything. And she'd heard of me because I was commuting back and forth to LA in my teen years. And so she sent me an email and we set up the appointment and I called her on the phone and the entire time my hand was like shaking. And by the end, it was like an hour long reading. I put it down and like, it was like, my palm was like soaking
wet. Wow. Like, Sarah Paulson, she's always, you know, like ahead of everybody else. She's so cool. Right. Like she knew about this way before.
She did.
Wow. Okay.
She's awesome. She was such an incredible.
Have you had bad experiences with some celebs?
You know, bad? I wouldn't say bad. I've had tricky experiences. Experiences where people were standoffish or maybe a little difficult.
Yeah.
You know, my reading with Boy George was probably one of the most difficult I've done. Yeah. Because he went into it really not game. You know, there was a very clear connection connections that were made that his manager had to end up validating at the end. And his manager came out and interrupted the reading and validated everything. But I don't think he was comfortable being vulnerable in that position.
That's part of something someone has to do, and that could be tough.
Yeah.
And by the way,
especially being a celeb.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're opening up about things that you don't necessarily want other people to know
about. Exactly.
In front of a camera.
On that note, here's a question I came up with, which I like. Is there any celebrity or whatnot that you would not read? For instance, would you read O.J. Simpson?
No, I wouldn't.
Good.
And the reason behind that is just because I feel like that would be kind of exploitive. For me, it's one of those situations where there's certain people that I don't... If I were to meet with, I would even have to be personal or private.
Right.
Like there's some... Although, the difficult part is I never have any control over who I'm reading or who I'm seeing on the show.
Because
I don't book the readings.
Right.
It gets booked by a network.
Right.
So, and they would book O.J. Simpson in a second.
But if you open the door, I would handle that by saying, hey, you know, this isn't the right...
Yeah, the other one I was thinking of was Casey Anthony. Like,
Yeah, no.
Morally and ethically, I would think you wouldn't want to do it either.
I would imagine she probably wouldn't want to do it either.
Yeah, that's true. No, so, she did it, but she wouldn't want to do that.
There's someone in here that wants to say hi.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I just thought that was an interesting question because, is there a line or whatnot? Right. And I'm glad to hear that there is.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in here who wants to talk to us?
Oh, well, it's a lot of silence from the Comedy Store.
We're in the basement. Seriously, we're both just sitting here going, please read us,
us. Come on, if anything comes. Talk to me.
Hey, Theo, you know what?
What?
It's a new month.
Dude,
so
I know.
That means a new Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
And August's Loot Crate theme is.
It is.
Kingdom.
It is?
Yeah, Kingdom.
I just got mine yesterday. I didn't open it yet.
Oh, I didn't get mine.
You didn't?
In this August Loot Crate, you'll find items from Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, and
The Lord of the Rings. So it's probably going to be a good one. Legend of Zelda, I remember from growing up, and they've redone it over the years, and then I think it just came out with a brand new one.
Yeah.
Adventure Time, I'm not even familiar with, so I guess I'll learn about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But The Lord of the Rings, everybody knows about.
Are you a Lord of the Rings nerd?
I'm not a nerd, but I definitely, you know, I like my lord.
And I like my rings. Yeah.
It's the best surprise that you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of like pop culture items and nostalgia items for less than $20 a month.
There are monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises if you go to Lootware.
Yeah.
So you get some clothes too.
Yep, Lootware. And if you want to geek out your pet, you can try Loot Pets. So imagine just having like a fun surprise box that comes every month. It's going to have great things in it for you or for someone you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have like a kid or a family member or a friend, anyone who like you just want to kind of treat them to something neat every month.
Yeah.
They love nostalgia. Pick the nostalgia that's in their realm. Lootware, Loot Crate, Loot Pets.
I mean, and it's not over the top. It's easy. It's for items less than like $20.
Yeah.
And it is a great thing to get each month. So be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive. It's completely exclusive. Crates at lootcrate.com/allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the code Theo.
Yep.
When are we going to change that?
Ooh,
enter the code Theo to save 10% on any new subscription.
Yeah, that's it. Lootcrate.com/allegedly. Enter the code Theo, T-H-E-O. August Loot Crate theme is Kingdom.
And this offer expires August 19th
at
9 p.m. Pacific time. So you have to get in if you want the Kingdom Loot Crate.
Yep, get your Loot Crate now. It's every month it's different. It's a great surprise. I promise you. Try it out for a month. See what you feel.
Yes. That's lootcrate.com/allegedly. Code Theo. So this is on behalf of Theo.
Great.
Theo is, and you probably won't even know who this person is. Theo was dying to be here because he is a giant fan of a deceased actor named Michael Landon.
Okay.
Do you know who Michael Landon is?
I know the name. I just couldn't place the face.
So he is desperate to hear from Michael Landon. So I don't know, like, if Michael happens to show up at some point.
That's interesting. Did he know him? Did he know Michael?
No.
Oh, well, that
he was
sense.
The star of Little House on the Prairie. And I think Theo, like, he was the dad on Little House on the Prairie. I think Theo had, like, a childhood where his father was much older and he didn't really have, like, the father thing. So I'm guessing that Michael Landon became his thing.
Right.
So he is a huge Michael Landon person. So I know if he could talk to anybody, it would be Michael Landon. So Michael, if you're here...
That's
please
so sweet.
Matt, send a message.
Who would you talk to? If there was one person, who would you
celebrity
talk to?
Celebrity or real?
Yeah, no, someone in the sky that's a celeb. Let's go celeb.
I love it.
Celebrities aren't real. On real, I'd talk to my grandma for sure.
Yeah.
She passed. She's the only person in my life who passed away suddenly.
Right.
And I could have been there.
Nice.
Okay.
She was put in the hospital. I decided, they told me that she was going to be okay. I was in LA, so I decided not to fly home, and she died like the next day. So that's my biggest, I feel like there's no closure there to an extent. Celebrity wise, I don't know. Like, part of me goes, ooh, do I want to like talk to Hitler and be like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, what was that?
Yeah, like,
what was that about?
Yeah, what was that about? Then
but then
part
it'd
of me,
all be in German, so it'd be awkward conversation.
Yeah. And then there's part of me that the old Hollywood stars, you know, like, of course, Marilyn or someone like that would be really neat to just kind of like talk to a little bit.
It would be. It's interesting that you mentioned about the Landon connection.
Yeah.
Was it Michael Landon?
Michael Landon, Landon.
So people actually ask me that all the time. Like, can you connect to Elvis for me? Or like, could you bring through whoever? And I find that people tend to only come through unless there's a personal connection.
Hmm.
People come through typically only if there's a reason for them to come through.
Hmm.
So
there'd have to be like that knowledge of each other, basically.
Right.
So if Theo had like a lock of his hair that he bought like on eBay or something, would that help?
You know, probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Because Michael didn't know about him.
Right. Because if anything, Michael would come through with messages about his family and the people
about,
he knew.
Give me back my hair.
Right. So
like this stranger bought.
By the way, Michael Landon has a son named Chris Landon, who's director. He directed Disturbia.
Wow, nice.
And he's a very handsome gay man.
That was a good film.
So
maybe he'll be on season 3.
We should get him on your show. That's just what I'm saying.
So going back to this whole like they have to have a connection.
Sure.
Now, you know, I'm guessing that you've talked to people that have lost like their spouse or their boyfriend, their girlfriend. Is there ever like a sexual thing that comes through? No, I'm being totally honest.
Well, that was
like,
one of the questions.
That they're like, you know, like the person on the other side is like, I just want to kiss you. I want to make out with you. Or something like that where you're like, this is getting awkward.
You know, it doesn't quite come through in that way. They'll make references sometimes to jokes, sometimes to inside things that would validate the person sitting in front of me. Like, oh yeah, they did make a cast out of their, like,
whoa.
Yeah, like, no, like that would come through if there was a reference. But I find that, you know, typically when we continue on and believe that as a soul, our consciousness is separate from the physicality and sex is something that is biological.
Yeah.
So it's not something I believe that as a consciousness we would prioritize so much.
Well, one of the questions that asked from Jason Perez was, do you believe that spirits or whatnot are watching us as we do things such as have sex or sit on the toilet or whatnot?
Like,
is my grandma watching me? I've actually...
That's a great question.
I have thought about it. I know this sounds
bizarre.
Can I
give you a point for
that? Can give me a point.
Jason Perez, you got a point.
That's my alter ego, Jason Perez. That's my Hispanic ego. No, I have all thought that this is a horrible, horrible thing to admit to, but I have masturbated and thought, I wonder if my grandmom is watching me right now, and then
she
I feel
was.
Bad.
And she just told Tyler. She was like, naughty boy. Like,
well, then she's got a lot to tell you.
Right. Like, at least let the cat out of the room before. But you know, what I'd say with that is, you know, when they come through, there would be no reason for them to watch us in the shower. There'd be no reason for them to be around in these cases. When people come through, they typically acknowledge, oh, hey, I'm aware that, you know, you just had a heart attack, or oh, I'm aware that, you know, more larger, bigger things, life events, things along those lines.
Oh, when I'm a spirit, I'm going to be watching.
Yeah.
Just know that.
That'll be
that's
voyeuristic.
Gonna be my job.
Are you going to watch me?
Not you.
Finally. So here's the question.
Yes.
Do you get a gay vibe from Dax at all?
You know, my gaydar shut off for the week.
Oh, so gaydar doesn't go
it
really
just, on Thursdays.
Because I've been trying to
He's been trying to convert
prove
it for a long time.
Oh, convert it, sure. I've been trying to prove it for a long time now. And I kind of need your validation. If that comes
well,
to you.
He's still living, so that makes it a challenge.
Listen, I'll do what I got to do to find out the truth.
That's a story.
When you think back to like the best reading that you ever had with someone, let's go with celeb just so we can kind of, put a face to it. But who was probably the best celebrity reading you had with?
You know, it
sounds so hot.
Who's
the best celebrity you ever had?
Oh, my. Well, give me a couple days. No, I'm kidding. You know, it would probably be a tie between Alan Thicke and Margaret Cho, because I met with Alan and Tanya, and he was a very skeptical client. And then he had a loved one come through who passed away of a heart condition that he didn't know he had. And he came through with Alan and said, Alan, you need to get your heart checked. Don't be stubborn like I was. Alan passed away a few months later of a sudden, you know, heart incident. And so that kind of whole situation for me was one of the most memorable experiences.
Yeah, that's intense.
And really hard for me on a personal responsibility perspective.
Yeah.
It just adds a lot of...
But you did your job.
Elements. You did your job.
You can't take that weight on your shoulders.
Exactly.
If only Paula Patton had you, right? That's Robin Thicke's wife.
Oh,
she would have seen some of the cheating coming, maybe? I don't know.
Should I take a point off?
No, that's getting a point. Reducing a point. You're in the negative now. No, I'm kidding.
So you love Jesse McCartney.
I do. Ooh.
Have you ever read Jesse McCartney?
He's done his research.
Yeah, yes. That's points for research, right?
I read the same article.
Well, I got to it first.
Brittany or Christina.
I got to Jesse McCartney.
Point
so
from that.
Have you ever read him?
I never have.
Have you reached out to read him?
No, but like, because he makes me sweat.
Really?
It does. My palms are sweating as I'm talking about him. I'm kidding.
Why? Okay.
What is it about Jesse?
Is it because he's so cute or because he's, both? He grew up like...
I Beautiful Soul was my first album that I ever got when I was like, 12-year-old little gay boy or whatever. So that was probably...
So that's probably it.
It was like my first...
Speaking of which, did you know that Aaron Carter was going to come out as bisexual? Who knew?
Who knew?
You knew?
Well, I'm saying I didn't know, but he was very close with Chris Crocker at one point.
You knew on a logical sense.
Well, I mean, I'm happy that he...
We've had Aaron on the show as
well.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, and I've actually spoken to him. It would be great to be able to read him some point.
Interesting.
His dad passed, which I do know about. So
yeah.
I think maybe he could benefit from some of that healing.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. do you personally, you read other people... Wendy wants to know, do your dead or past relatives or anybody contact you? Like, do you have your own one-on-one time?
Sometimes, but for the most part, messages tend to be focused on other people. For example, like my grandmother died when I was 10. I really don't feel her around very much.
Really?
Which is kind of surprising. You'd think being a medium, she'd be like around constantly. But I find that people come through with a need to deliver a message for their living loved ones to give them a sense of closure or peace. I have total peace with my grandmother, so I don't need her to come through. Oftentimes, though, the people who don't have a resolve are the ones that are the first to connect.
So. I'm going to ask a really personal question that you can just say, I don't want to answer.
No worries.
I didn't read anything about your father.
Yeah.
Is he... What's the story behind
that? He's totally in the picture. My mom and my dad are together. They've been married for over 30 years. And I actually told my mom first about my ability and my dad when I was actually 16. So it took like 6 years for me to ever even come out to my dad as a medium.
Such an interesting parallel. Between the medium and being gay, that's crazy.
That's true.
And so, I came out to my mom first too, goodbye gay.
Right, and so I had to come out as gay to him and as a medium, and ultimately it took some processing.
Wow.
But he ultimately became my number one fan. So,
wow, you don't see. I mean, I know of your mom, and I've seen that on the show and whatnot, but you don't see your father very much.
He's just very shy, but we've actually been in discussions about maybe seeing a little bit more of him in.
Really? Wow.
That may or may not be confirmed yet.
So they're by the way, definitely going to be another season.
We're in the process of getting into filming. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Anything you can, you don't know who gets booked.
Right.
Can you request?
They have my list of people who they're like, would you ever like to read this person? And I'm like, yeah. Like I'll do my dream list of Lana Del Rey, Ryan Murphy. But then they're like, okay, we'll see. Maybe.
Yeah. Like we'll try. But in the meantime, we're going to get Jaleel White.
Right.
Are you single?
I actually am in a relationship. So
hey.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Wow. That might change. I'm sensing. No.
Please. I'll take anything right now. Speaking of which, do you know, could you get in touch with Bette Midler for me?
Did you know her?
She's alive. I just meant, do you have her number?
That goes to show how much I know about celebrities. I'm like, who's Bette Midler?
I'm sitting here racking my brain, being like,
I just want to know if you have her number.
Like, I read Cloris Leachman.
You did?
I did.
Oh, did you get the sense like you're really close? Well, I know that's a horrible thing to say, but
I mean, she's like 90 million. It wouldn't take a psychic to be like, well, in 20 years, I'm sensing probably a transition.
20?
She was so lovely.
She's adorable. Yes. She's really sweet. Okay, so you don't know Bette Midler?
No.
All right, well.
But maybe season 3.
Work on that. Wait, what kind of a gay are you? You don't know who Bette Midler is.
I'm going to get my gay card revoked.
Yeah, that's gone.
I didn't even
dude.
Recognize Boy George, so this is really... I might not even really be gay.
I mean,
this
you know just, who Cher is.
Yes.
You know Barbara Streisand is.
Yes. They both... Cher lives right down the street from me.
What?
And like, I've heard from the Cher camp that there's a reading request, but I'm like terrified. I'm like scared. I'm like, I don't want to
You do
like...
that request. That's
but
I, awesome.
But then like, she has like a compound. You have to like go into the compound. It's like a whole...
It's like the White House. You have to... Yeah.
Like I would like need to like go on a diet and like prepare.
go on a diet?
Like, I don't know.
Why would you have to go on a diet? Do you get better sense when you're skinnier?
Fucking out of my butt. I know. But I would love to read her.
Oh my God. But yeah. So is this good. Like really possibly going to happen?
It could. It wouldn't be on
this
wouldn't.
Yeah. This would be a private thing. Exactly.
So we'll see.
Are there private ones that you've done that you just can't talk about?
Yeah, I signed confidentiality agreements sometimes in some of them, but I don't like to do that. I like to be able to, like,
yeah, you like to be able realize. To, but you have signed confidential, yeah.
Like major A-listers?
Yes, there's definitely been some, and political people too.
Mm. Yeah.
Has he ever met someone and immediately got a negative spiritual warning about them?
Ooh, and going on that, can you shut it off?
I can't completely shut it off, but there are times if I get kind of a negative vibe. I wonder if that's more asking about, like, the spirits coming through or the client themselves.
I think it's more the spirits.
More the spirits.
I think that means,
but,
like...
But it could be about a client. Like, you could go to sit down with someone, you're right. Like, ooh, I don't want to talk to you.
No, but see, you see movies like The Conjuring. I know this is a ridiculous thing, but a lot of that is, oh, they conjure spirits, and then all of a sudden a bad spirit comes and wreaks havoc, you know?
I've never had a bad spirit come through, if that helps.
But well, I have there bad spirits?
If there are, I just haven't connected with them.
Do they have to be bad in real life to be bad in... Maybe.
I mean, oftentimes I've had people who lived really bad lives of, like, doing horrible things and hurting people, and when they come through, they just take accountability and acknowledge, like, I have an understanding of how every action that I did affected everyone else in my life.
Okay.
So it comes through from that perspective.
Mm. Okay.
But there's a whole...
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
It's like a whole nother level up there.
It is. But there are definitely clients that I've sat in front of before where I'm like, I don't really like your energy, or I can't connect, like... It's rare, but it does happen.
Well, going with that, I mean, Dax touched upon this before, which is another thing I saw on social media is you're very polarizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get the skeptics and you get the believers.
Of course.
And the skeptics, you know, they say neat, nasty stuff.
For sure.
Have you ever been, like, accosted, or does it get to you when that stuff happens?
You know, it doesn't, and I'll tell you why. Because growing up, starting this ability at 10 years old, I had seen how other mediums were treated in the public eye. I saw how John Edward, James Von Prague, even Sylvia Brown, although I'm not a huge fan of her. I saw how they were treated.
And you know who Sylvia Brown is, but not Bette Midler. Yeah. Okay.
Different industry.
Yeah, well.
But I found that as time went on, going into this, I knew when I got a show that people were going to be critical. And I knew doing a show about celebrities that there's a lot of public information about them out there. So people were going to go in with that cynicism. But I think for me, when I focus on the validations and when you see these connections on the show, these are so personal and so detailed and so specific, oftentimes about things that even the client in front of me doesn't even understand and has to get validated through another family member, that the people who get read know that this is real. I think, you know, there's always going to be critics of anything, whether it's psychics, whether it's any other industry. I think everybody to some extent deals with criticism.
Yeah, but these people can be mean.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're a young guy.
Right.
And it's taken me 37 years to get a thick skin.
Yeah.
Does it ever personally, like, get to you?
I think that I understand the mindset of a cynic to some extent because they don't want innocent people to be taken advantage of by people who do not mean well. And that's an admirable, commendable cause.
And there are those people out there.
Absolutely. So I feel like skeptics and cynics to some extent do serve a purpose in being able to bring awareness to people who are fraudulent or illegitimate. And for that, I'm super appreciative because in my own industry, I've had to kind of redefine a lot of these misconceptions about psychics and mediums. And skeptics actually help do that by bringing forward the ones who are not legitimate. So
interesting.
What's your view on, like, Teresa, the Long Island medium?
I've never met her.
Never met her.
So I can't speak on her process, but, you know, I think
that's... Have you ever watched her show? And
I have.
Do you ever get messages while watching her show?
I have, yes, actually.
Funny. Wow.
Yeah, she had the show, obviously, before I had mine, and so I'd watch her show, and sometimes we'd get impressions about the clients, and I'd be like...
But would you kind of have the same answers that she would have?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really?
So that was actually funny. I just remember that I used to do that on her show, yeah.
What, when you did Jenna Dewan Tatum,
yes.
Was Channing there?
He was not.
Oh.
He was not.
Bummer. Then why'd you do it?
He was booked.
He was booked. I mean, I would just to have him on set.
Oh, my God.
Do you think that, I don't know, are celebrities harder to get someone to contact?
Nope.
Or be, no?
I'm just a regular easy person, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Madonna would be, it would be tough.
I feel like there's a lot of people who want to talk to Madonna. Right?
Yeah, that's true, too.
It's true. And celebrities oftentimes know a lot more people just in their life experience than, say, someone who grew up in a rural area who's never left the county.
So
like,
it's
celebrities have a lot more experience.
Amount. Yeah. And so you've done Kardashians before.
Yes. Everyone's always like, the Kardashians. I'm like, yes, I have. Yes.
You've done two out of the five? Two out of the...
Okay, let's see. I've done Kim, Courtney, Chloe.
Three.
Well, then I've done a Jenner, Kylie. Oh, yeah, and Kris Jenner. Yeah, so I've done the Kardashian sisters.
Which one was the best?
The best in what way?
You got the most information. You felt like you walked away being like, yeah.
Probably Kris Jenner. Chloe, as far as the Kardashians.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was... This is an insensitive question. I'm sorry. I was going to ask if this was before or after Caitlin became Caitlin.
It was after.
It was after. Mm-hmm. So I was, if it was before, I was going to see. Yeah. Like, no. Did you see any of that coming? No. Okay.
Was it a lot of like black spirits coming through?
So bad. Those are, they're living.
You mean because they date black guys?
They're bad.
No. Oh, man. Do you ever get scared?
Yes. I get scared sometimes if I don't know when like a physical sensation is going to go away. So for example, if I get a chest pain, it's grandpa trying to say heart attack. I verbalize grandpa had a heart attack and then the chest pain goes away, usually. But there's sometimes where I'll verbalize like, oh, hey, I'm getting this. And then the pain's still there and then it doesn't go away.
Yeah, how do you know the difference between when you're actually having pain and
yeah, how come you're not at the hospital like every other day?
It's tricky. So
you're lucky you're not a hypochondriac.
Yeah, well, I am sometimes. Oh. Actually, literally, it's become a problem because I do have an issue sometimes distinguishing between my issues. Like, am I having a kidney ache because I'm having a kidney stone, which I get, or am I having a kidney ache because my next client died of kidney disease?
Wow.
It's a very
so this is the
issue.
Burden we were talking about.
It is.
It's the pain that someone's trying to communicate or just,
right,
hey, I'm unhealthy today.
Right. So
that's crazy. And you've had kidney stones?
Yes, I have.
And me too.
Yeah, they're a bummer. But
they're the worst.
There have been cases where I've gone to readings like sick. So like, let's say I have like a congestion in my chest. If because I use my physical body to kind of like receive information, if I'm dealing with a lot of congestion in my chest and someone died of lung cancer and I'm having chest pain, it might be difficult.
I was going to say, did you tell anybody something different when it turned out to be just a kidney stone?
Not yet.
Not that.
But it is tricky. It's a challenge. And so if there were to be any instances where I would mess up, I would think it would probably be not being able to discern between my pain and someone else's.
He's really the most fascinating person I think
It's very fascinating. Going back to my mom, who sort of requested that we even call her on the phone right now, perhaps just to say hello, which maybe we'll do.
Sure.
How much do you charge to do a reading, if you don't mind? I'm sure I can find that out if I go online. How much? Sure. What do you charge?
So it totally depends. For celebrities, I basically have worked it this way. Where
Milk
for
them.
Celebrities, I have a higher rate.
Yes.
And I read celebrities, do those like usually about half the time. And then I devote the rest of the time to people who can't really afford the celebrity rates.
Really?
So I work with people depending on, what their it's like sliding scale. Is the way I would
describe. Interesting.
Yeah.
Just like my shrink.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
But it's only for the non-celebrities. Celebrities have a very set rate.
What if you're just recognizable on TV, but you're not really a celebrity?
Dax.
Well, I want to make sure I'm not going to get upcharged because I was on a show for a little bit.
Jesus.
I'm cheap. I need the low price.
I saw that. Cheap. I saw that coming way before. Fucking
the IMDb,
Dax.
I'm like, up in the rate.
If I were to call my mom just to say hi, would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We're calling mom. Mom was working out. She said, I'm going to be in the car after 6:30. So let's see if we get her just to say hello. Hi, Mom. You are on. You are live on. Well, not live, but you are on the air right now with Dax, me, and Tyler Henry.
Hi.
Hi.
How are
you?
I wish I
were there in person.
Oh,
she actually did consider flying out to come here, but she's coming in like 2 weeks. Mom, I got you on the VIP list.
Yes, we're gonna meet.
And it's a sliding scale.
But now that you've been on this podcast, you're famous.
What I make doesn't have anything to do with what my mother makes. Just to give you that. Mom, anything you want to say to him or anything?
Well, I am a big fan. I follow you.
Thank you.
I think you're an incredible young man, aside from your many talents.
Oh.
And I just wish I could get a reading.
Oh, well, we'll set it up. Thank you so much. And we're going to make sure, I'll make sure to book it, and we'll do it.
See that, Mom?
Okay.
I love it. I can't
wait to
see you.
There you go. You're welcome. How was your workout?
It was fine. I had the phone on. I kept waiting for you to call. I just want to say hi to Dax, because I haven't spoken to him in a long time.
Hi, Mama.
It's like the Dax chat all over again. All right. Okay. On that
Bye,
note.
Mom.
Well, thank you for your kindness, and I really look forward to meeting you.
Yes, I can't wait. I'll see
and
you
I'll tell
soon.
You everything to say, Tyler, before everything that I'll get right to her. All right. Bye, Mama.
Bye. Thank you.
Perfect.
So that was awesome.
Another question I had was, have you read readers?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Yeah. Have you read people that you knew were fake?
Yes.
And do you call them out?
No, because it's not my place.
Wait, you know they're a fake reader?
Yeah, people who say that they're readers or have them, whatever, like...
Yeah, so I've gone to like over 200, 300 psychics just to kind of
I can imagine you've, yeah.
Yeah, and when I was not famous, it was
So are you just messing with them?
Well, the thing is, I actually wanted to go before I got the show and see like how other people worked. And so I saw like 200 to 300 and would go, and if I got the sense that they weren't legitimate, I wouldn't call them out. I would just kind of like... you know, nod and go with it and then just kind of get up and leave. But there were a lot of people who were incredibly like dead on and accurate that actually helped me understand my ability a little bit more.
And then would you open up and tell them halfway through, oh, by the way, I also have the ability?
Right. Yes. Okay. But like,
interesting. That's a good question, because if you have the ability, can you use it to test other people?
Sometimes. Huh. But I can't really read myself typically because there's too much bias.
I was going to ask that, if you've ever felt like messages were directed at you versus someone else.
Yes, in life or death situations. Two cases. One case happened when I was right before I had a brain cyst incident where I went to emergency brain surgery. And I looked over at my mom in the car and said, Mom, I think my brain's swelling. And she looked at me and was like, oh, well, I think you're overreacting. Like, what a silly thing to say. 3 weeks later, I was hospitalized with brain swelling. Huh. So that was a medical instance.
And then your grandma.
So wait, was that a feeling or like a message?
That came through as like a feeling. Like my head was hurting and I knew that there was something to this, but I knew it was for me. It wasn't for anyone else.
Hmm.
And so that was a moment of knowingness. And then the second one was actually, we were driving a car and I was asleep and I woke up randomly and looked over at my mom and said, Mom, switch lanes right now. And she got into the right lane. And as she did, the car in front of us, which was carrying a wooden table, the table flew off the back end and would have slammed into our car. But I just woke up and said, turn to the right, you know, get in the right lane. And she did.
Whoa. Do you like take aspirin a lot?
Take lots of naps.
Yeah,
naps?
Say, okay. Do you sleep all right?
Do you take any kind of medication? Does that alter it?
No.
I mean, if you took like an Ambien, would it fuck with it?
You know, I mean, it would definitely
fuck with it. I don't know.
Where
it
got that. New Jersey. Yeah. Well, you know, I think of it this way. Like, you know, for me, my goal in a reading is to be a clear vessel for information, which means putting aside my own thoughts, feelings, emotions, expectations. When you're on a television show, obviously there's a degree of expectation and a degree of nerves. So I'd say, like, you know, if you go into a situation where you're super anxious, you're not going to be able to connect as easily. So going back to your question with like medication, like if someone popped a Xanax before they did a reading, could actually help to some extent.
Really?
Because they're not going to be overwhelmed with that mental headspace of focusing on anxiety. Instead, they'll be a little bit more open and receptive to picking up on other information.
Do you drink? I mean, theoretically, if you were 21.
I am
do you,
21. Yeah.
You are 21.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you drink?
I don't.
Not at all.
Yes.
Is that a part of the reason?
It is. In that case, I just feel like alcohol... Well, I mean, a number of reasons why alcohol probably wouldn't work with this ability.
Yeah.
It's just,
I've done some crazy things on alcohol. Right. I can only imagine.
Right. Like, for me, what I do is so sensitive to people's lives that I would never want to be in a position where I said anything that I would regret.
But
in an intuitive sense.
Maybe it could even help.
You never know.
You should
loosen
try
you
it.
Up a little bit.
You should make
bit.
Like a YouTube channel of like the drunk medium,
dude.
And then you can just like have people like.
You know what? I actually just got that URL.
No, dude. I know the perfect person to try it on.
Yep.
My mom would be perfect. Let's get you tanked before my mom.
Wouldn't take much.
Yeah, you're like 115 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
Do you ever get woken up in the middle of the night?
Not so much anymore.
Like someone's like, hey, I need to communicate, but. Dude, I'm sleeping right now.
It used to happen a lot more, like growing up. I find that when I do readings during the day, it's almost like releasing pressure.
Are you a multimillionaire?
No.
No. Are you a millionaire?
Nope.
Really?
No.
But you live down the street from Cher.
Yeah, dude, come on.
It's a lease, honey. It's a lease. Okay. All right. Maybe season 6.
So what do you want? Like, what's long term for you? What do you want to do? I mean, you're so fucking young. You have your entire life ahead of you.
Yeah.
Is this something you want to continue doing? Are you interested in entertainment? Are you... I don't know.
I love the platform that I have, and I'm so thankful, but I hope to be able to continue expanding it through other ways. You know, I love to be able to travel and to go to places where people aren't exposed to mediums or this kind of thing. So I'm going to Minnesota, for example, on September 23rd to do a lecture and some reading giveaways for people in that state, because I understand that a lot of people can't make it to LA for these sessions.
Mm.
So doing that and continuing to share this is important for me, and I think that it can be done through readings, through books. I'm working on a second book at the moment. My first book's already out.
What's the basis of the second? Anything you can tell us?
Kind of revolves around how we can lead more purposeful lives based on what the dead would have done differently in theirs. So
okay.
it's a pretty deep book, but
I'm
in the process of it. So yeah, there's some long-term goals there. It's just, for me, you know, the celebrity aspect is a great platform. It's a great thing to bring awareness to this. But my goal is to help everyday people.
So yeah, going back, do people accuse you of literally witchcraft?
Yes. Yes. Huh. But they are, you know, typically people who come from the more theological background where they're told that that's bad.
Have you had threats on your life?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yes. I've had a few, yeah.
And are these from people that just don't believe in you or that they had a... It's not someone that like had a reading and they're like upset about a reading, right?
Well, there's been, most have been online. Most have been through people who just, you know, say things. But there was one case where I had a client, this is a story, a husband and a wife who saw me for a reading. Ooh. I had a feeling that the wife was going to pass away, but that the husband might have some involvement. So I told the wife, you need to get out of your relationship in 8 months. She went through the process of trying to file a divorce. At the last minute, he got a settlement, so she decided to stay. And then she died of an accidental prescription drug overdose. But it was a whole situation where I knew that her husband was going to potentially
be involved.
Be involved. And
so wait, do you go to the police at that point?
Yeah, I got, I was for 6 hours interrogated by a detective in my small town. And my mom was there.
And now do the police believe you? Because
they had to, because the text messages were in her phone. I was one of the last people she spoke to, and my last thing to her was like, you need to get out, this isn't going to end well for you, you know what I said. And so, you know, you find a dead person's phone and their last text they have is to this medium, and he's saying this. They called me in the police department like that. And so it was a whole thing, and I had to basically tell the detective everything I knew. And the husband ended up shortly thereafter coming to my office and walking through the door and cornering me. And I thought I might lose my life in that moment, but he actually just broke down in tears sobbing and
confess.
No, he didn't confess. I think he was trying to play me a little bit. He was trying to kind of
get you to then not believe that he was part of it, so that he was off the hook a little.
Right. He came to see me at a very intentional time. He knew that I had said this to her, and he was trying to.
So how did it end up?
He ended up, I believe, going to prison
for
actually unrelated stuff. Oh. His wife's death, unfortunately.
Have you ever been recruited by law enforcement, FBI, or something? I see movies about it all the time to help in.
Wasn't their show called Medium?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Alison Dubois. Yes.
Oh, there was also the Jennifer Love Hewitt one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Ghost Whisperer. But I've seen movies where they like get someone to, you know, whatever. Sure. Have you ever been recruited?
So as far as that goes, I have worked with families before who have had family members go missing, and I have worked with people who've been connected to police departments, but. My thing with that is that I really want to refine my ability, because this is going to be a lifelong career, before I start taking on cases that are that personal.
Hmm.
Doing readings for celebrities is one thing, but talking to people about their missing loved ones is a whole other level of expectation, of pressure. And for me, like, I have to be at a certain level in my ability to have the confidence to do that.
Hmm.
There have been a couple instances, one that I can think of, where a woman's cousin went missing. And she asked me, do you get any feelings about my cousin? I said, I think she's still alive. I'm seeing a parking garage, and I think you'll find her within 24 hours. 24 hours later, she was found. She ran away with her boyfriend. They were found in a parking garage, and she was fine. But that's the closest I've ever came to real in-depth.
Do people stop you all the time now?
Yes, everywhere I go. Like, I have to strategize going to the supermarket, and like how to go.
You doing the hats and sunglasses kind of thing?
Yeah, but because it's different than being I roll my eyes at the idea that I'm a celebrity, because I don't consider myself a celebrity, but it's different.
Dax considers himself a celebrity.
I said recognizable, sir. You said down.
Recognizable figure. Public figure.
Yeah, okay.
But it's different, because, you know, you see an actor, an actress, a singer, in person, it's like, okay, you don't have to walk up to them. But what I do, being a medium, is so personal and so connective that I think sometimes people see me in person and think, okay, this is my one chance to connect to my dead loved one.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, hi, that's Shakira, or like, oh my God.
And if it's taken an hour each time, you don't have the time to do that for everyone.
So I have to tell them.
You're like, I'm going to wait for them to slice my cheese as long as I have here. Once I get them thinly sliced, then I'm out of here.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I didn't think of that. You probably just everybody. And I just did it to you with my mom.
Oh,
sorry.
No, it's all good. But that's part of being a public medium in the public eye.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, I think I'm done with my questions.
I mean, this was fascinating. It really was. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, absolutely.
Very cool.
Thank you guys.
There wasn't much score keeping.
You know, we got Dax had -1 and Matt had 1.
Well, Helly,
what? That ended up not going how I intended. I was going to give Dax all the points, but
wait, what? No, look.
Why were you going to give Dax all the points?
He's the guest.
No, look, I had 3.
Oh, look, now he has 3.
That doesn't count. So this is what we do. This is what we do.
2?
Just for a final thing that can help. We normally do like a little 30-second competition of some sort.
Great.
And so
handstand contest.
No.
Well, you said contest.
Well, we do something that's related to our guest. And so this is not me ridiculing what you do at all.
No worries.
But I think we should each try to get a reading of the other person.
Ooh, okay. This will be good.
Okay.
And do I get to rate your readings?
Yes.
Of the other? Okay. So, okay. All right. This is
all right. I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be good.
I'm ready. I'm seeing like a hole of some sort. It's in West Hollywood. Yeah, I'm definitely seeing it in West Hollywood.
He's not gay. Okay? It's just, it's not.
See? He said it.
Just stop.
But
trying.
That was glorious. Good job.
Oh, glorious!
The glory,
glory hole.
Glory of that. The, that.
That was my funny attempt.
All right, Tyler, who wins?
All right. Well, this is a hot mess. But
and you
like
can consider everything.
Everything
doesn't have to just be the points.
Oh,
you know what? I think I might have to give it to Dax.
Yeah.
Fuck?
Yeah.
It's just the beard.
Well, he has a few of those.
That. Was perfectly timed.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, listen, everybody, stay tuned. I mean, tune into the finale tomorrow night.
That's right.
We're very excited to see what happens with Lil' Kim and Biggie. And hopefully another season. Sounds like it's in the works.
Absolutely.
And in the meantime, follow you.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Ty Henry Medium, and my Instagram is Tyler Henry Medium. So.
And if people are interested, they can try to sign up and join the long list.
Yep. By www.tylerhenrymedium.com. You can get a reading and you can go on the inquiry list, and I do 2 to 3 readings a day. So if you're interested, you can sign up there.
Every day.
Every single day.
If someone tweets you, can they get one? Because you said sometimes people email you and you can get a reading.
Do you
so
do
if
readings
tweet
via tweets?
You know, see, there's
can you do a reading on 140 characters?
I was going to say 140 characters is kind of limiting.
You can use emojis.
Oh, you could. But then, it'd be like interpreting and interpretation
that's
of
true.
Interpretation. It's like there's a symbolic symbol of a symbol.
Well, Dax, I thank you for coming in
for
and subbing.
Me. What a fun day to be here.
This was great. I hope none of our questions offended you. By which I mean me.
You guys
my questions.
Thank you.
And, Tyler, congrats on your success.
Thank you.
You really are a sweet. Yeah, where does this come from? You're so sweet.
I have good parents.
Yeah, so sweet.
Thank
Such
you.
A sweet young man. And we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
And thank you for everybody for your social media questions. And I hope we did you justice. And we will see you next time on Allegedly. Bye-bye.
Bye.